The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille. Welcome to the Italian Grape Geek Podcast. Join us as we explore personal stories of travel and tasting with Italy's must-know grape varietals. Chart your own course with My Italian Grape Geek Journal, your personal tasting companion to accompany the series. Available now on Amazon. With thanks to Colangelo and partners for their generous support with this project.
Hello everybody, my name is Emilia and I am a Vinitaly International Ambassador and was recently actually moved back to Italy. I'm living in Chianti Classico now and I'm very lucky working for Quattrobella as the head of marketing. My passion for wine stems from a few years back, I have to say. I come from Friuli Venezia Giulia, originally from the northeast of Italy. And it's a pretty rural area of Italy, so grapes were growing all around me. So it felt quite naturally that through the years and through my youth, I actually developed an interest and a passion for grape growing and winemaking. I was lucky enough with over 20 years of international experience in the wine business before finding my new home here in Tuscany. The first grape I'm going to talk about is Chiopettino, also known as Ribolla Nera and Pokolca in a Slovenian dialect, and is a grape that I hold quite close to my heart because it comes originally from my hometown, close to Cividale del Friuli, from the Colli Orientali. So we are talking about the eastern border of Italy, bordering, as I said, with Slovenia. Schioppettino, it's also one of those grapes that really fascinates me because of their history and how they almost escaped extinction. Just to give you an indication, in Schioppettino was probably being quite popular in the past around the hamlets of Prepotto, Challa, and Albana, which, as I said, lie pretty much on the river Iudrio, which is the natural border between Italy and Slovenia. But went extinct after the Second World War due to a combination of factors. There's something that happened to a lot of indigenous grape varieties in Italy, as you probably know by now, by reading the book and listening to the Italian wine podcast. So almost at the brink of extinction, it was actually saved by a family, the Rapuzzi family, of the estate named Ronchi di Challa, which at the end of the 1970s started, first of all, to replant the vineyards, but also start fighting along with the local administration to get the wine and the grape recognized in the National Registry of Grapes of Italy. I think it's a similar story, again, that can be related to other grapes too. As I said, it's a wine and a grape that I really like because it brings me back to my family, brings me back to the place I was born. And I think it explains very much how the ability, how the skills, the determination and the dedication of a single producer can actually make history. As I said, the Rapuzzi family did everything they could to actually save this grape. Another funny thing that always makes me smile about Schioppettino, it's the name. You know, if you think of it, schioppo in Italian means bang, but also means like pop, like Schioppettino. It relates mainly with the Slovenian name, which is Poklica and Pokalca as well. So this really strange sound that, you know, makes a small pop, but also suggests how crunchy the grape skin is. You know, if you put it in your mouth and you squeeze it, you feel it like a little crack going on in your mouth. It's believed to be a mutation as well of the other local wild champion, which is Ribolla Gialla, even though recent DNA testing have disproved this, but I think in the minds of the local, there's still, you know, a correlation between Schioppettino and Ribolla Gialla. So, of course, Schioppettino and the history of Schioppettino is very much linked to that of the Ronchi di Challa estate, which I think still makes one of the most beautiful expressions of this grape. But you can find more and more producers in Friuli that are now making really great wines out of this grape. To name a few, Vigna Petrussa, who are also from the Prepotto area. as well as Antico Broilo, where the winemaker is actually quite a young guy, very dynamic, makes also a mean Pinot Noir, if you look for it. And they work with 100% varietal wines. Outside of its birthplace of Prepotto, you can find Schioppettino wines in other DOCs of Friuli and other appellations of Friuli Venezia Giulia. I'm thinking of another small but very dynamic producer, which is Ronco Severo, especially for people that appreciate natural wines. Marco Sara is from a different area, though. He's not from Prepotto, but I believe from Savorniano del Torre, still Colle Orientali del Friuli. And Bressan, who's actually in his own, so not exactly from Colle Orientali, but still makes a really spot-on Schioppettino wine. If I had to pair Schioppettino with any dish, I would go obviously very traditional Friulano pairing, because that's, again, brings back memories of my childhood and brings me back to my birthplace. I remember, for example, one really great epic lunch that I had at Ronchi di Cialla, pairing Schioppettino with rabbit stew and polenta, of course, on the side. There are some local sausages which are pretty acidic that I think goes hand in hand with the wine. In general, lighter styles of Schioppettino can go with roasted and grilled meat, wild meat, even grilled fish. If I had like a more, let's say, structured version of Schioppettino, I would go with something smoky. I think that the combination would work really well. And of course, peppery notes. One thing I haven't mentioned about Schioppettino is one of its typical notes is the rotundone, so the peppery notes of the rotundone. And I think I always like to find a consistency with what I found in my dish.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Don't forget to visit our YouTube channel, Mama Jumbo Shrimp, for fascinating videos covering Stevie Kim and her travels across Italy and beyond, meeting winemakers, eating local food, and taking in the scenery. Now back to the show.
Talking about another really famous, not famous, I'm lying to myself, it's not famous for Friulano. No, let me do that again. Hello everyone, I'm back and I'm here to talk about one of my favorite white grapes, which of course comes from Friuli Venezia Giulia, which is my region. I'm always trying to be a great advocate for Friulano wines. Obviously, the tip is in the name. Friulano means coming from Friuli, that beautiful corner of Western Italy, squeezed between the mountains, between the Dolomites and the Adriatic Sea, bordering on the eastern side with Slovenia. So there are a lot of influence, Slavic influence and German influences in the region. But Friulano is, of course, something that talks very much about the farming traditions and history of my region. About its origin, there are mixed ideas about that. The mainstream would think that the grape might have originated in the region of Veneto, which is next door to Friuli, and spread into my region probably around the 1600s. But again, other scholars actually would like to tie the Friulano to the southwest of France, where a similar grape is known as Sauvignonas or Sauvignon Vert. And again, there's still a lot of debate going on about the origin of the grape. At least for me, the most important thing is that this really symbolized the growth of viticulture in Friuli. Friulano became the flagship grape of the region, and for many years it was actually known as Tokaj Friulano. And here is actually when the troubles begin, or actually we need to jump forward to very recent years, because obviously the name Tokaj caused a lot of fuss, you know, when Hungary was about to join the European Union, but in general, because of the Tokaj region. So the powers to be were very concerned about Tokaj Friulano creating confusion, maybe being misleading, not only in terms of the characteristics of the grapes and the wine, but also, you know, is it Tokaj? Is it coming from Hungary then? Is it sweet wine? So at the end of the day, quite a bitter battle unfolded within the rooms of the European Commission, or I think it was at the European Commission level. And finally, Friuli as a region was actually obliged to drop the name Tokaj. I remember I was still a student when this happened, because we're talking about the 1990s. I'm that old. This debate started, and while we were still waiting for the final decision of the commission, a lot of producers start actually thinking, okay, if we lose, what is going to happen? How are we going to call our main grape? Remember that Friulano was back then probably the flagship grape of the region. So I remember very, very, very clearly that there was a sort of a survey being made on newspapers, on radio shows, so on and so forth, to actually pick the name. And at the end, it was decided that because the grape was so important for the viticultural traditions of the region, it was decided that the name should have been Friulano, which obviously means coming from Friuli. Friulano is also a fascinating grape variety because it's quite a vigorous grape variety. And in order to be able to produce really great quality wines, you need to be able to lower the yield and work very much on the canopy management of things. Also to avoid the insurgence of various forms of rot and mildew. Also remember that Friuli is characterized by quite humid conditions, especially during the development of the vine. So to be able to really work the Friulano grape well, you need to start with a successful canopy management. My favorite producers, they are really, really a long list, because you can imagine every time I go back to Friuli, I always start my adventure, I always start my trip with a nice glass of crispy, slightly bitter at the end, Friulano. I'm very particular. I really know the flavors that I'm looking for when I'm ordering a Friulano. Of course, if I can find anything from Yanni and I have someone to sponsor it, I would go for it. Great producer, of course. Iclivi comes to my mind. If I find it on the list, I always root for them. Spekogna, Christian Spekogna from Rocca Bernarda. Again, young producer who's really making history nowadays in Friuli, being selected as one as the young and upcoming wine producers of Italy. I'm quite partial also to Doro Princic, especially the old bottlings of Doro Princic. I think that really set the mark for great Friulanos. Vignai di Doline, again, quite natural in their approach, quite natural, no intervention in their approach to winemaking. But again, wines that show extreme purity of the grape, very clean, very long, very precise winemaking as well. Gigante, if you like some Friulano that brings a little bit more weight to the glass. I can go on forever because seriously, Friulano, it's one of the grapes, as I said, that are closer to my heart. Wine pairing. I always like to think of a regional pairing. I think that comes pretty easy in this case. If I go back to Friuli, of course, a glass of Friulano comes with a nice tartina con prosciutto crudo di San Daniele, because the two things just marry beautifully. Montasio cheese, which is one of the local cheese of Friuli. If you really like cheese, go for frico, one of the local best dishes. It's basically fried cheese with potatoes with some sort of variation. Some chefs, some cooks like to add, you know, pancetta to frico or other, let's say, animal-based proteins. But for me, frico, I'm a purist, so it has to be potato and cheese. And again, makes a great pairings for Friulano. And in the springtime, one of the very typical pairing would be with seasonal asparagus and eggs. Either eggs made in frittata or slightly cooked like a la coque. If you like fish, of course, Friulano again, with this sort of long, clean finish, I think makes a perfect pairing for white fish dishes. Roasted or grilled, it's your call. But again, if I think of Friuli, of course, Friulano is the first thing that pops into my mind.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.